Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin Lamed Zayin. We are Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We are halfway down on the Amud, even less than that. About a third of the way down, we're going to be starting this morning with the words Yibailo. And today we're going to be covering one topic and continuation of yesterday. That's going to be Prizbol, Takanos Prizbol. So we already know the Mishnah a couple days ago introduced us to three Takanos, and this is a Perek of Takanos. Right. In fact, today, Mirz Hashem, we're going to be finishing not the Perek, but we're going to be finishing this particular Takana of Prizbol. So over the course of today, we're going to be learning numerous halachas regarding Prizbol and the institution of Prizbol. Yesterday, we went a little bit more macro. We discussed how exactly Prizbol is working in relationship to the mitzvah of Shemitah. So first, let's back up for just a moment. Let's talk a little bit about Shemitah. So Shemitah means that I'm going to lend money. And what does the Torah say? That if the loan goes uncollected and Shemitah comes and goes, so what happens is that there will be a cancellation of the loan. Okay, that's amazing, right? Just to think about it for a moment, right? I lent you money. I expect to get paid back. It's a mitzvah to lend money. Okay, we're not talking here with interest. Interest is a separate issue. We're just simply talking about the simple act of lending and retrieving the money that I lent. So I lend the money, and of course I expect to get paid back. The Torah says that Shemitah comes and goes, and now the loan is going to be canceled. Okay. At the end of today's daf, we're going to ask a simple question. Even after the loan is canceled, can I gift you back the money? That's coming up at the end of today's daf. We're going to be having that particular discussion. But meanwhile, the loan itself is canceled. Okay, fine. So now, am I really expected to lend money knowing that the loan is going to have the loan is going to come to an end, and there's a good chance that I'm not going to get paid back. So the Torah understands all of our basic instincts and psychology, and the Torah says don't worry. Meaning I understand it's a concern. The Torah says not to worry. Right, when you're lending money, you're doing a mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. You took care of somebody else. Hashem will take care of you. Again, that's paraphrasing. I'm not quoting Pesukim right now. But the Torah says not to worry. And meanwhile, human nature is that, of course, we worry. Even when we're given assurances not to worry, so we worry. Okay, one of those tensions in life. I'm sure everyone can relate. I know I can relate. So meanwhile, people worry. So what happened was is that a rabbinic institution, and that is that through this document, through this vehicle called Prizbol. So what's going to happen now is that if I write myself a Prizbol, so now what I'm going to be able to do is collect my loan. It's really that simple. But of course, it's not that simple. What's happening? How does that work? In other words, so we write up a legal paper, and now I'm going to go ahead and be able to collect my loan. The Torah says it's canceled, and Prizbol now allows me to collect it. So when you look at it superficially, which I just presented, what is that? Right? The Chachamim could do that. So in yesterday's daf, what we went through together is the mechanics of what happened Shemitah Bizmanazeh. Is Shemitah Bizmanazeh Daraisa Darabanan? Yesterday we played both sides of that question, right? That's not a Davar Muskim. Not everyone agrees to what the conclusion is. And so on both of those sides, we addressed how does Prizbol work? How does Prizbol work if Shemitah Bizmanazeh is only a din derabanan? Yesterday we explained a little bit better why Shemitah Bizmanazeh is only a derabanan, not a deraisa. But anyway, if Shemitah Bizmanazeh is a derabanan, so anyway, the cancellation of loans is not operating on a Torah level. It's only operating on a rabbinic level. Hey Mamru, hey Mamru. So the rabbi said that Shemitah should perpetuate. The rabbis also said that there's a way of circumnavigating it using the institution of Prizbol. That's one approach. And the other approach, which we ended off with yesterday, and this is the approach of Rava, Shemitah Bizmanazeh Daraisa. The cancellation of loans is min HaTorah. And Beis Din has executive powers over money. It's called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Hefker Beis Din Hefker allows Beis Din to take money from anybody and simply reassign that money to somebody else. So this is the kind of executive power that the Beis Din has over money. Rabbi Gamliel instituted, by the way, right, let me correct myself immediately. Hillel instituted that using the powers of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, so Beis Din can do that. Beis Din can take the money even though the money's canceled and the loan is canceled. Beis Din can now take that money and say, you know what, you still owe it to the lender. Okay, this is all that we covered yesterday in a nutshell, and we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. We're on Lamed Vav Amud Beis.
How did the rabbi decide
I'll do that again a little bit later. Your question is very fair, and I'll explain that a little bit better later. Okay, it's a fair question. Ibailahu, we're on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to start off with a question. So ki hiskin hilo pruz bol adari hu detakin o dum adari ama namitakin. Okay, so when Hillel instituted Prisbal, so was that for his generation or was that in perpetuity? Okay, now, the Gemara over here is not entertaining for a moment that Hillel only made the institution for his generation. Obviously, the institution of Prisbal, this legislation, was going to be for future generations as well. The Gemara is not thinking, hey, Prisbal only worked for one generation, that's it. What the Gemara over here is considering, and what I'm saying over here, the Ramban says it, I'm just not quoting the Ramban inside, but what the Gemara over here is entertaining is the following. Is this a one-time piece of legislation where Hillel basically said, I'm instituting Prisbal for the foreseeable future, period, end of sentence. That's one possibility. And that's that's Ladari Alma Namitakin. Alternatively, no. What Hillel did is that when he instituted Prisbal, what he did is that he gave license to future generations. In other words, a generation from now, 5 generations from now, 10 generations from now, I'm giving everyone the license that if they want to use a Prisbal institution, they may do so. Those are two different ways of saying it. Now, if you're following me carefully and you, I know it's a nuanced difference, but then you're going to understand the Gemara's next point. L'may nafka mina lebetulei. Now, the Gemara now wants to know, based on these two ways of saying it, can a later generation go ahead and just simply nullify Prisbal? Nullify the institution of Prisbal. Imar ledari hu detake mevatlin anlei. If when Hillel instituted, he only instituted for his generation. And again, instituted for his generation with also permission for future generations to go ahead and legislate and institute. But in other words, permission. You don't have to, you may. But of course, with the you may also comes, you don't have to. You may not. So that's one possibility, which means that a later generation could just simply say, look, we don't need Prisbal. Now, why would a later generation say that? It's very simple. Because we have to look at the dynamics and the behaviors of lender and borrower. Meaning, why do they institute Prisbal to begin with? Because people weren't lending money. So if a later generation, they see that behavior is changing and that people are in fact lending money, okay, so we don't need Prisbal. That's one possibility. So now, maybe the other way to say it is that no, that when Hillel legislated Prisbal, he did so as a one-time action. In other words, this is a piece of legislation, period. Is this going to be for our generation? It's going to be for all future generations. There simply will be no opportunity for any future generation to go ahead and to rewrite this legislation. Now, it's true. Takanas can be undone, but for that, what you need is a greater Beis Din. I'm not going to go through right now what are the definitions of a greater Beis Din. We kind of touched on it in the Gemara that I just read, but it's a discussion in of itself. But if you have a greater Beis Din, so then you can undo any piece of former legislation. That's true. But in other words, but Prisbal as instituted by Hillel is a one-time, in perpetuity, piece of legislation. So the Gemara now wants to know, so what's the right way to look at it? Did he license it for future generations, or did he just simply legislate it for future generations? Tashma. Amr Shmuel lo kasrin in Prisbal ela habeveidina desura. Ibeveidina denarda. So Shmuel made the following statement, and that is, where could you write up a Prisbal? So you could write it if you're in the Beis Din of Surah, that's Rav's Beis Din, or in the Harda, the Shmuel's Beis Din. So the Gemara says, so if you're saying it that Hillel instituted Prisbal as a one-time piece of legislation, so then it shouldn't matter whose Beis Din you are currently going to. Meaning if Hillel's legislation is, I'm instituting Prisbal, period, end of sentence, so that means to say that you can go to any Beis Din and have any Beis Din write it. By virtue of the fact that Shmuel says, well, you have to go to a special Beis Din. It's got to be Rav's Beis Din. It's got to be Shmuel's Beis Din. So right now the Gemara's thinking is that Hillel didn't institute it for all future generations. He gave licensing. Now, who gets that license? Only if you're a competent Beis Din. If you're Rav's Beis Din or Shmuel's Beis Din. So the Gemara says, maybe the way I said it over is not the correct way. The Gemara presents an alternative. Dilma ki takin hillel, ladari alma ki gon beidina didei. Ucharavami, ucharavasi, dalima lafkui mamon, avalukol amalom. The Gemara says no. Maybe we can go back and present it the way we did. It's a one-time piece of legislation. Hillel instituted Prisbol for all future generations. It's not a licensing. It's an institution. It's a legislation, period. But even within that legislation, it's still going to be limiting in terms of which basin can do so. Which basin can go ahead and be the authors of the Prisbol or receive the Prisbol. Only strong Bati Dinim. The basin of Rav Ami, the basin of Rav Asi, the basin of Rav, the basin of Shmuel, only such based in. Why would we limit it? Because again, the principle basically operates through the mechanism of Hefker based in Hefker, like we said yesterday. And so that you need a kind of based in that is able to take money from one and give it to the other. So it has to be a strong based in. Tashma, the Gemara still wants to try to resolve. Hillel instituted Prisbol for perpetuity. Or no, for his generation, with permission for future generations. So Tashma Damar Shmuel HaPrisbol Ubana Dedainahu Iyasher Chayel Avat Leinu. So over here, we're going to get a really, really interesting comment of Shmuel on the institution of Prisbol. So what Shmuel said is that, look, this Prisbol Ubana Dedainahu, it's an arrogance, let's stick with the word arrogance. It's an arrogance on the part of the of Chachmei Yisrael. If I had the power, says Shmuel. Shmuel obviously is making a comment years after Hillel instituted it. If I had the power, Yasher Chayil Avat Linu. What I would do is I would just simply nullify it. Now, we're going to come back and we're going to try to understand a little bit better why Shmuel had such a strong feeling about the Prisbol institution. But right now, we just want the comment to try to educate us, inform us about our question. Hillel legislated one time, period, or no? For his generation, with permission for future generations. V'ha'in beizdin yachol levato divrei beizdin chaver alem king gadol haimen b'chachma uv'minyan. So when Shmuel said, if I had the power, what do you mean? Right? You can't undo a previous beizdin. So, hachi kamarim yasher chayil yoser mihillel avat linu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe that's exactly what he meant. Maybe what he meant is that if I did have more authority and I was a greater basin, if my basin was a greater basin than Hillel, so then I would go ahead and I would undo it. Okay. So in other words, we could still understand that Hillel made a one-time piece of legislation and Shmuel wanted to repeal it. But when Shmuel said, if I had the power, what he meant was if he was a greater basin. Okay. And Rav Nachman Amar Kayimenu. Now, we're gonna now. Okay, so we asked the question. The Gemara kind of came off unresolved. How did Hillel institute? How did he legislate? Prisbol was a one time deal. Alternatively, it was for his generation with allowances for future generations. So also legislated. And again, the difference would be: can a later generation be mevatel? Good. That's the question. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved.
You have to do more than one.
Well, I'm sorry. The Gemara right now is asking more macro. You're asking individually loan to loan. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to sit back and watch the commentary on the institution of Prisbol. Shmuel took a really strong stance opposed to the legislation. Now, when I say opposed to the legislation, okay, in other words, Hillel was misake. It's on the books. It's there. Shmuel just simply doesn't like it. Okay. He felt that it was too much of an exercise of the authority of Beis Din. Okay. I know that's strong, obviously. Rav Nachman takes the other position. Rav Nachman amar kaimenu. Akaimenu hamekaim v'kaye. Hachi kamar eima b'milsa da'af agav delo kasuf ki kasuf dami. Okay. And Rav Nachman takes the other position, which is love it. Now, I'm not giving you a literal translation of the Gemara. Akaimenu literally means that I would support it. Now the Gemara says support it. What do you mean? It's already there on the books. So no. In other words, what Rav Nachman's saying is that look, if it had it not been there, had that piece of legislation not been there, I would have put a basin together and I would have legislated it. I think it was a great idea. So over here, such an interesting dynamic between Shmuel and Rav Nachman, right? That Prisbol legislation, good or a bad idea? Shmuel goes back historically and says, I don't like it. An abuse of power. Okay. And Rav Nachman takes the other position, which is, no, love it. Think it was a great idea. If you look carefully at the way Shmuel says it, right? Hi, Prisbal, I'm just backing up a couple lines in the Gemara. So he described it as Ulbana de Dayanahu. Right? That word Ulbana, that's a strange word. The Gemara now sits on that word for just a moment. Hi, Ulbana, Lishon de Chutzpahu, Lishon de Nechuzahu. So when he said the word Ulbana, was that something of a chutzpah? Was it like arrogant, insolent? Or Lishon de Nechuzahu? No, maybe it meant something which is good. Maybe he meant it in a optimistic manner. So Tashma Damar Ula Aluba Kala Shizinta Bekar of Chupasa. So the Gemara here gives gives the following example where the word aluva is used, and that is in relation to a Kala Shizinta Bekar of Chupasa. Literally, the word translate as the new wife who was Mizanim. She committed adultery. So, and the word aluva over here obviously means that if you have a new wife committing adultery, so is that favorable or unfavorable? Right? We don't have to sit and figure that out. It's most unfavorable. In other words, it is obviously a strong, strong reprimand of her action. Now, Rashi over here points out, by the way, that although we're talking about the new wife and we're talking about her committing adultery, what Ula over here is referring to is not literally a new wife committing adultery, right? But rather he's talking about Klal Yisrael b'nei Yisrael. And when did they commit adultery? By Mamad Har Sinai. Rashi writes over here, by Mamad, and Rashi knows this, by the way, because of the upcoming Gemara. By Mamad Har Sinai, so what happens is that we turn to the Egel HaZahav, right? It's dome, it's comparable to the commission of adultery. Amar of Mari Barada Bashmol Maikra, Acha Melch Memisibo, Nirdin Asan Rechov. Okay, the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which gives a description of, again, it's all allegorical. It's all talking about our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. So, Ad Shamach Bemisibo Nirdina Sanrecho. So we start smelling bad. In other words, because we committed a form of adultery in the Egel Azav. So, Amar Rava Dain Chavivusuhu Gaban Dichsiv Nasam Velo Ksiv Hisriach. Rava looks at the silver lining. In other words, obviously, it's a dark day in Jewish history where we turn to idolatry at by Mamad Har Sinai, but if you look carefully at that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, it says Ad Shenasan Rechol. Right? We were given a bad odor, but we weren't masriach. In other words, but we didn't stink all the way from the inside. It wasn't to the core. Okay, so a small silver lining to the cloud. Anyway, but what comes out over here is that the word aluva is obviously meant not as something which is positive, just the opposite. It's clearly meant as a negative comment. And again, we go back to Shmuel, and when Shmuel says that this principle is ulbana de chachamim, he meant it not complimentary. Okay, good. Right. Tana Rabbanan. Hanealavim vein ovim shomim cherpasam vein meshivim osim miavos mechim biyisurin aleim akasav omer voavav kitzitz Hashemus begvura so. As long as we're discussing this word ulbana, the Gemara makes one more comment on it, notably ne'elavim. So ina ovim. So let's say somebody is verbally abused, right? In other words, made fun of and degraded, and ain an ovim, but they don't give it back. And shomim cherpasam beim meshivim, and they hear people embarrassing them, and they don't respond. So osim me ahava usmechem biyisurim. In other words, they can handle it, and they can handle the suffering that they're given. So the pasuk says, "Va'avav kitzes Hashemesh." The pasuk can show them by Shiras Devara, and that is that they're beloved to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the sun shining. Wow. Okay, so good. So the just a short piece of Agarata in terms of basically right some midos and character development in terms of it's good to take it and not to have to respond. Okay, we are okay. Good. So far, right, you can see I'm pausing here for just a moment. So we are finished up on yesterday's discussion regarding the institution of Prisbal, but really the truth of the matter is we haven't hit a single halacha yet regarding how Prisbal works. When can you use, we haven't hit a single halacha regarding Prisbal. We just discussed it more from the perspective of, number one, How can the Chachamim be matir the cancellation of loans? If the Torah says it's canceled, how can the Chachamim be matir it? That was the big discussion from yesterday. And then, interesting commentary by the Amoraim in terms of, I'm sorry, before we get to the commentary. Then we went on to discuss when Hillel was Mesakein, was it a one-time piece of legislation that applies for all future generations? Alternatively, he was Mesakein it for his generation with licensing for future generations to go ahead and also institute it, but they don't have to if they don't want to. Those are the two possibilities. The Gemara does not have resolution on that question. And then we saw commentary of the Amoraim, Shmuel and Rav Nachman, good thing or bad thing, that the Chachamim institute a prizbal. So far, that's what we covered. No, it's an explanation of what they're trying to do. They're trying to make a better world. In other words, the Chachamim wanted lending. They wanted people to lend money. So therefore, for Tikkun Olam, for improving the world so that people would lend, so therefore they instituted a prizbal. Okay, good. Okay, my prizbal. It's a funny word. We've been using it so many times. Do we even understand it? The answer, of course, is no. So the Gemara is going to try to help us understand it. So my prizbal, so Amar Rav Chista, pros, leboli abuti. So pros means, Rashi, a takana, an institution, for the boli and for the buti. Boli are wealthy people. Buti are the poor people. I will excuse everyone in this room, myself included. I'll be nice to myself as well, for not knowing that the word boli means wealthy people and buti means poor people. These are funny words. Boli elo hashim when lam zayinam et aleph. Boli elo hashim dechsev v'shibarti zgon ezchem v'tini rav yosef elo bulao shabi Yehuda and buti elo anim dechsev ha'avei tavitenu. And the Gemara quotes psukim, drashas that arrive us to this conclusion that boli is wealthy and buti are poor people. Okay, so it's an institution for both. In other words, the wealthy person, obviously that's the lender. And now with the institution principle, what is going to happen to him? He's going to be able to get paid back. And the buti are the poor people. Why is the institution good for him? Because he's going to be able to borrow. Okay, so good. So it's an institution that helps everyone out.
What does it say, boti here? The
ha'avet ta'avitenu.
Oh, but in prizbal, the word prizbal.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, good. So good. So I was thinking the same thing as well. In other words, in prizbal, you only have the boli, you don't have the buti. Okay. And he's insistent that it really helps out for both. And meanwhile, in the word itself, it only mentions wealthy, not poor. Okay, good. I thought the same thing.
Just FYI, in the R scroll, it says boule and boute as far as the nekudos.
Oh, okay, good. I accept it. So Amarle Revel Loaza. My prosbol Amarle Porsa de Milsa. Okay, and the Gemara gives a second interpretation of what prosbol is. Porsa de Milsa. Porsa de Milsa just simply means it's a takana. Right, an institution. Okay, in other words, and apparently he doesn't buy into this buli and buti. I'm not sure how to understand this machlokus. Anyway, we got a little bit of help in terms of what the word actually means. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel Yisomim. So okay, now we're going to get involved in halachas. Now, as far as the halachas are concerned, so the truth of the matter is there is a primer. In other words, there's something we should be doing before today's daf, and that is going through the 10th parak of Shviyas. Okay. Could have mentioned it yesterday, should have mentioned it yesterday, but now we're here. And that is that the 10th parak of Shviyas goes through the halachas of Shemitah. Okay, so what we're going to be doing over the course of this morning is that obviously we're learning today's daf, Gittin Lamed Zayin, but in the course of today's daf, we're going to be citing a number of Mishnayos from the 10th parak of Shviyas. And we're going to be citing other halachas as well by Amoraim, a little bit of a blend. Sam Rav Yehuda Shmuel Yisomim, Ein Tzrichim Prozbol, V'chein Tani Rami Amarcham Yisomim, Ein Tzrichim Prozbol, De Rami Gamlo, Beis Dino Avim Shol Yisomim. So first of all, orphans do not need a prozbol. Now, Rashi over here writes as follows, we're talking about orphans who are borrowers or lenders. So Rashi says we're talking about orphans that are lenders. Orphans that are lenders, orphans are lending. So what they did is that they inherited. In other words, dad had an account receivable, dad died, and now that account receivable goes to the kids. Okay, so now, do the kids, and when I say kids over here, right, in other words, I'm assuming they're minors. So do they need to write up a prizbal so that the loan doesn't get canceled? So halacha number one we're learning today, no, they don't. They don't have to write a prizbal. Why? Because here's what we assume. We assume that in absentia of the father Rachman has died and left the kids off as orphans. So in absentia of the father, so who now is going to be assuming responsibility of the children? Beis Din. Beis Din takes on a paternal role. So that means now, who now becomes, so to say, the collector of that loan? Beis Din. Now, you're going to hear me say this a lot over the course of the remainder of today's daf. What does Prisbal do? And the way I'm presenting it right now is Rashi. Now, the truth of the matter is it's not the only way to present it, but it's Rashi, and I'll just simply say it over. What Prisbal does is that it takes your loan, and basically you're handing off your loan to Beis Din, right? You're Moser Shtarusav Le Beis Din. Now, it does get a little bit confusing because the Mishnayos in Shviyas makes it sound like Prisbal and Moser Shtarusav are two different vehicles, but Rashi says they're really one and the same thing. So what you're doing now is that basically you're taking your loan doc and you're handing it over to Beis Din. Here, Beis Din, it's yours. Now, of course, it's not really Beis Din's because Beis Din's going to collect on your behalf. But basically what you're now doing is that you are handing over your shtar to Beis Din, and now your loan is not going to get canceled in doing so. That's basically what Prisbal is doing. What Shmuel now is explaining is that because the father died and left the children as Yisomim, and because now Beis Din assumes responsibility, so that means that all their loans are de facto handed over to Beis Din. That's the way Rashi presents our Gemara over here. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Shviyas. Yes, the 10th Perek over here. This is Mishnah number 6. Everything is Perek Yud, so this is Mishnah Vav. And Kosrin, Prisbal Ella Al Karka. So here comes a very basic halacha regarding Prisbal, and that is that Prisbal can only be written if the borrower has land. If the borrower does not have land, you do not have the right to write a Prisbal. Now, I'll get to why in just a moment. So the im ein lo mezakeh b'soch sadeo kol shehu. Now, the Mishnah then goes on to describe, well, what if the borrower doesn't have land? So what do you do? So what you do is you give him some land. Okay, give him a little bit of land. How much is a little bit? V'chama kol shehu. Any amount of land would be fine. Am Rabbi Chia Barashi, Am Rav, Afilu kelach shel kruv. Even if the land is only able to hold one stalk, that's enough land where now you can go ahead and you can write Prisbal. So we just learned together that in order to be able to have the right to write, sorry for the alliteration, that to have the right to write a Prisbal, so the borrower has got to have land. And if he doesn't, so give him some land. And now you can go ahead and you can write Prisbal, and what it'll allow you to do now, of course, is be able to collect your loan. Now, why is land a prerequisite to Prisbal? Rashi writes over here, I'll tell you why. Rashi says, because when you normally lend money, so normally you want to know that there's going to be some form of security to your loan, and normally you would only give money, you would only lend money, only if the borrower had land. Okay? And if the borrower does not have land, this is what's called a davar she'eino shchiach. So it's a davar she'eino shchiach. And the chachamim, this is all Rashi. Everything I'm saying is Rashi. And the chachamim, we're not misaking something which is eino shchiach. If it's not something which is common, so the chachamim did not legislate. So the reason why land is necessary is because it has to be something which is shchiach. But Rashi then continues, and Rashi writes, but let's say, for example, that the land nowhere matches the amount of the loan. Rashi says it's still okay. We just learned together in the Gemara. The amount of land necessary to be owned by the borrower is any amount, the kol shehu. Rashi writes, as long as there's some land there, even if that land does not represent the value of the loan, but still we can call it something which is shchiach, and therefore you're allowed to write prosbol. Okay. And just to make one more point of Rashi, and the truth of the matter is that even if the land doesn't actually match the amount of the amount of the loan, what you could still do is you could still go ahead and use it and reuse it and reuse it in order to collect your loan. This is the principle of Ketina Da'abaye, the Gemara Ksuvos. Truth of the matter is I'm not going to go through it right now. And truth of the matter is that Tosos has a slightly different take than Rashi. But anyway, all this is just a quick viewpoint of Rashi. Okay, Alan, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I guess the whole purpose is that A, land is not movable, and B, that you can lean it and mortgage it.
Correct. But right. But the what makes it a little bit confusing, and
It's not chattel.
Agreed. But what makes it a little bit confusing is the fact that Rashi really explains it more as a function of it being a shchiach. In other words, it's something which is common, as opposed to something which is uncommon. Okay. Okay, let's just leave it like that. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Filu Yishila Makam, Latanu L'Kirayim, V'Kosra
N'Alav. The principle of Hefker versus Hefker. What's the Hefker for this?
Right, so they... No, I understand, agreed. But when did the Chachamim institute Prusbo? They were Misakin Prusbo only if it's something which is Shchiach. In other words, if I'm lending to somebody who doesn't have any land, it's a Dover Shehenu Shchiach. The Chachamim did not... It wasn't Misakin Prusbo for that.
It's kind of unfair, though.
And if he doesn't have land,
like, okay, unfair. I'm just...
The whole point is that people that don't have the money need to borrow the money. So,
then what you do is you give them a little piece of land. The Gemara says there's a solution. Okay. Give them a little piece of land.
The point is they don't usually give them
and then when you give them a little piece of land, now you can comfortably go ahead and lend them because now you'll be able to collect.
Oh, so you're giving them a piece of
land. You give the
buck. I didn't get that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Good.
Okay,
the Gemara says I'm Rav Yehuda Afilu Yishila Makom Latanul Kiraim Kosen Lo Prusbal. Even if you just give them enough land that can hold an oven. So that would be enough for Prusbal. Any the Gemara says Vatani Hilain Kosan Prusbal Ella Al Atsitz Nakuv Bilvad. So Nakuv Inch Eino Nakuv Lo. So the Gemara says, what about a flower pot? The flower pot only can be used as your Prusbal vehicle, only if it's got holes in it, meaning it's now connected to the ground. But if it doesn't have holes, it's no good. But I don't understand. If you're giving the flower pot and the land underneath, what difference does it make? It has holes, it doesn't have holes. Amai Vahaika Makamalo Chikadamanachasiche. So the Gemara says, well, the flower pot is held up on pegs, and the pegs right now, in other words, the only land you're giving him is the area that's over the pegs. The area over the pegs is not enough. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, and he writes extensively in the notes on this topic, in other words, the pegs that the pot is sitting on is not good enough. We just learned together, he only needs a kol shehu of land. He only needs enough land for a stalk, for a single stalk, and meanwhile, the pegs of the pot is not enough. Okay, so he discusses over here in the notes. Anyway, there's obviously much more to discuss. Rav Ashi Makne le git me dedikle the kasev le a prusbal. And again, Rav Ashi goes ahead and gives over to the bar just a small little parcel of land, right? Git me dedikle enough just to hold one small deckle, one small palm tree, and on that was enough. That was sufficient for a prusbal. Okay, good. So. Number one, halacha, well, it's not number one, but halacha that the Gemara just spent a little bit of time with is this idea that you must be, the borrower must have land in order for a prusbal to be written. And if the borrower doesn't have land, so there's a way to navigate. And that is give the borrower some land. Okay, if for anyone who's written a prusbal, hopefully that's everyone here, but if for anyone who's written a prusbal, so when you go to a beis din, so, hopefully they knew enough to know that the assurance is that the borrower has land and you make a kinyan for the borrower so that he has land. Okay. Rabban, if the person who's running your prusbal didn't do that, okay, you need to find a new you need to find somebody who knows. Rabban de Rav Ashi Masri Malai Lahadade. Okay, the Chachamim of Rav Ashi, the students of Rav Ashi, so Masrei Milayu Lahadade. So what they would do is that they wouldn't even write up the Prusbal on paper, but basically they would verbally authorize Prusbal, and that would be sufficient. Rabbi Yochanan, Masrei Milayu Rabbi Chaber Abba, Amarlei Tzrechina Mide Achrina, Amarlei Lo Tzrechisa. So he gave verbal authorization for Prusbal, but he didn't actually write it down contractually on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Was that enough? Do I need anything more? And he said, no, you don't need anything more. So over here, another lengthier discussion, which I'm only touching, and that is that the Gemara just told us that Prusbal doesn't even have to be written down. Verbal execution of Prusbal is sufficient. Is that a halacha that is specific to Talmid Chachamim? From the Gemara, it sounds like it's only limited to Talmid Chachamim. Does it extend beyond that? Another major discussion. Tana Rabbanan. Ein lo karka, la ariv yesh lo karka, kosner la Prusbal. Now, Bar doesn't have property, but let's say there's a cosigner on the loan. And the cosigner does have property. Good. You can go ahead and you can write Prusbal. And the truth of the matter is, let's say there's no cosigner. It just happens to be that your borrower is owed money from a third party. That's also good. Because you know what you can now do? So in other words, your borrower is owed money. The borrower obviously owes you money. You can go ahead and bypass him and go right to the third party and collect directly from the third party. This is what's called Shibuta de Rabbi Nasan. So, and Baruch Hashem, we have opportunities to go over this numerous times throughout Shas. Today is one of those days. Mi de Rabbi Nasan, de Tanya Rabbi Nasan, Amr minayin lanosha b'chavero man, v'chavero b'chavero, minayin shemotzim azem v'nosan lezeh, tamalamar, V'nasan l'asher asham lo. Okay, so based on drashas, Rabbi Nasan Shibuda and Rabbi Nasan tells me that if A owes B and B owes C, so now what C can do is that C can basically say, look right past B, go right to A and say, hey, you owe B money, you owe me money. I'm gonna go back to you. I'm gonna go to your borrower and I'm gonna collect from him. This is Shibuda to Rabbi Nasan. And so now that works in terms of Prizbal, meaning what Prizbal now allows you to do is that if your borrower doesn't own any land, but somebody owes him money, so now you can go ahead and you can write Prizbal. Okay, next halacha. Tanan Hasam. Shviz Meshametas Esa Milva, Bein Bishtar, Bein Shelo Bishtar. Okay, so the Mishnah Shemitah tells us the following, and that is that the cancellation of loans will occur, whether it is a documented loan or it is an undocumented loan. Okay, that's the Mishnah Shvius. Rav Shmuel, Dami Tavayu. Now, over here, what do we have to do? We have to define the Mishnah Shvius. Now, the definition of the Mishnah Shvius seems to be pretty self-evident. The Gemara says, not so fast. So, Bishtar, Shtar Sheish Ba Achareis Nechasim. Shelo Bishtar, Sheim Ba Achareis Nechasim. So, Kol Shekein Milva Al Peh. Okay, so, as far as the correct understanding of the Mishnah Shvius, when it said, when the Mishnah says that Shvius is going to forgive loans, whether it's documented or undocumented, undocumented does not mean it's not written. Undocumented simply means that there is nothing mortgaging the loan. There's no land. So that's going to give a security for the loan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Malachi, Shami Tavayo, Shtar Shi, Ein Bo Achareis Nechasim, Shelo Bishtar Lemevapeh. Rav Yochanan and Shimon Lakish, however, take a much different interpretation of that Mishnah in Shvius. And they say the following. The Mishnah in Shvius is describing a shtar as a loan that is written but not secured. And a shtar, she'ein bo achrayas nechasim, is simply describing a loan that has no paperwork whatsoever. But if the loan is written and secured, and there's a mortgage with this loan, so now Shemitah is not going to be Meshamit. According to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Tanya Kavasa to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shtar Chav Meshamit Vim Yeshba Achareis Nechasimena Meshamit. And the Gemara here quotes the Braisa supporting exactly this Pshat. Tanya Idach, we have another Braisa. The second Braisa is also going to be supportive. Vesim Lo Sada Echas Ba Vaso Ena Meshamit. So Shemitah is not going to cancel loans that are secured, either by an identified property, a potiki, or even by unidentified property. So it doesn't matter. As long as there's land securing that loan, so Shemitah is not going to cancel. Now, why would that be? The explanation would seem to be pretty straightforward and pretty simple. Because once you have a lien on that property, so now Shemitah cancels loans that you have to go ahead and you must collect. You got to go after the borrower and you got to somehow wrangle your money back. But if you have a security, if you have a lien on that person's property, so now you're sitting there comfortably with, hey, I mean, I still have work to do, but basically I'm in a secure position. I'm not in the position where I have to wrangle the money out of him. Okay. Kreva de Ravasi, Havale Haushtara, Davik Sivbe, Achres Nechasim. So the relatives of Ravasi, so they were lenders. And on the loan, it says Achareis Nechasim. In other words, they had a lien on the property. Asal kamed Ravasi, Amarlei Meshamet, Oina Meshamet, Amarlei Ina Meshamet. Shafka Vasal kamed Rav Yochanan, Amarlei Meshamet. So now the question becomes, whether or not the loan is canceled by Shemitah, yes or no? They go to Ravasi, and Ravasi's answer is, the loan is not canceled. You guys are good. They go to Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan says, I think the loan's going to be canceled. Sorry. Now the Gemara says, also Rav Asel, come to Rav Yochanan. So now, if you've been following the daf carefully enough, you should know, Rav Asi turns to Rav Yochanan and says, what has just happened over here? In other words, this was a loaned document. It was secured by property. I go to Shear. I listen to you. Rav Asi says to Rav Yochanan, I know your position. Your position is Shemitah doesn't cancel such a loan. And so now Rav Asi turns to Rav Yochanan and says, I don't understand. Asa Rav Asi coming to Rav Yochanan, Amarlei Meshamet, Oina Meshamet, Amarlei Meshamet. He says, well, the loan's going to get canceled. The Hamar Hu Da Amarei Meshamet. Yeah, but I heard you say, Ain't a mashamid. Amar lei v'chim and reishim ishanu medamim nasa maisa. So Rav Yochanan says there's a big difference between hearing me in shir and then psak halacha. Meaning in shir, so I'll say things which seem reasonable, sound reasonable, but then there's psak halacha. Psak halacha. Now that's different. In other words, psak halacha. I'm taking money from people because I think a certain way in shir. Not so fast. And especially, in other words, I'm motzi mechaver alav araya. Right? In other words, I'm taking money out of people's hands. It can't just simply be, hey, I think it's right. It can't just be that. So Amar Leva Atani Kavasei Damar. Again, Ravasi says, okay, but I'm going to press you a little bit more. Because not only did you say that in shir, but you have a bracelet supporting your position. Amar Leva Dilmai Beishami Yidami Shtar Haomi Legavas Kegavu Yidami. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, there's a bracelet supporting me. That's great. I'm not convinced. Could be that bracelet is authored by Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that when you have an account receivable that's backed by paper, Beis Shammai is of the position, we view it as if it's already collected. But that's a Beis Shammai viewpoint. That's not a Beis Hillel viewpoint. Could be that bracelet is authored by Beis Shammai. I'm not convinced I'm right. And I'm not ready to go ahead and take money out of people's hands just because I entertained a viewpoint in shir. So over here, another Mishnah in Shvius. You know where it's from? 10th parak of Shvius. This is the second Mishnah over there. Let's say when the loan was given, so you took a collateral. You actually physically took a collateral, mashkon. Alternatively, you're most ashtaros of the Beis Din, you handed over your note over to Beis Din. Now, again, according to Rashi, that's prizbal. But according to Rashi, you know what prizbal is? Prizbal is the institution of handing your star over to Beis Din. Even before the institution, any individual, private individual, could do the same thing as well. It just happens to be prizbal was an institution of doing so. So, Bishlam Mamosa Shtar Sof LeBeis Din DeTafsulu BeDina. So the Gemara says, I understand that when you hand your star over to Beis Din, so now Beis Din is the owner of that note. And they, of course, Hefker, Beis and Hefker, they can go ahead and still collect even after Shemitah. Elam Abba, Lamashka, Maitaima. But if you take collateral, why is it that Shemitah is not going to cancel that loan? I'm Rava Mishum the toughest lay. So Rava gives the explanation, which I think we all would have given, which is you're holding something against the note. In other words, it's as if you already collected. Amalei Abaye, Elamiata, Hilvao, Vidar, Bechatzero, the toughest lay, Hachinami, de la Mishame. Let's say the lender now happens to also be living on a piece of property owned by the borrower. So are you going to say the same thing? He was toe-face? So the Gemara says, I'm Alei Shani Mashkon. The Gemara says, when it comes to Mashkon, it's different. The Kandalei Mid Rabbi Yitzchak. Mashkon actually creates a kinyan. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Menela Balchov Shekona Mashkon Shenemar Ulechas Yet Tzedaka. Imeina Kona Tzedaka Minayin. So when the Torah says that when you take a collateral, and that person doesn't have anything to sleep with that night. So what you do is you hand the collateral back. And when you hand that piece of collateral back to him, it's daka. Now, what does that mean? It means fundamentally it's yours, but be a good person and give it back to him from the standpoint of daka. It's only called daka because the mashkon is yours. Okay. So mikan labalchov shekone mashkon. Fine. So the Mishnah in Shvius that says that if A, you hand your star over to Beis Din, or B, you took a mashkon at the origination of the loan, Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan. Tanan Hasam. Okay, a Mishnah. Any guesses? 10th parak of Shvius. This is now the 8th Mishnah. Hamachzer chov lechaver so b'shvius tzarech sheyomer lo mishamidani imam lo afapi ken yikabel emena shenemer v'zed dvar shmita. Okay, here's how the loan should now end. This is the end of today's daf. This is how the loan should end after post shmita. So post shmita, what should happen? So lender goes over to borrower and says hi. So the let's start the other way. Borrower goes over to lender and says hi. Remember, I owed you the money. Now, the lender is instructed to say, Mishamanani lach. I cancel the loan. Now, this gets onto a really, really large discussion. Does the lender need to say it, or does it happen automatically? Okay. I'll pause dramatically because that's... I know, he needs to say it. In other words, without him saying it, was Shemitah going to operate by itself, Or do you need the lender to actually articulate the words, loan is forgiven? I'll pause dramatically. It's a big question. It's a big discussion. I'm not even touching on it. I'm just mentioning it. Right? This is barely scratching the surface.
How could you say
FLPK? Okay, good. Anyway, so lender's going to say loan is forgiven. And now, borrower, here's your line. What you're not supposed to say is, I know the loan is forgiven. I'm going to pay you back anyway. Let's call it a gift. That is proper etiquette at the end of the Shemitah year. Okay. And darshaning it from the Pasuk says, the Devar HaShemitah, the Dibor. In other words, I need this conversation to occur. And the Gemara now goes ahead and gives the following. Amar Rabba Vitalei Ad Amar Hachi. And Rabba says, now, let's say the borrower, after hearing the words, the loan is forgiven, let's say he doesn't want to say his line. Borrower, you know what your line is right now? I'm going to pay you back anyway. Let's call it a gift. Let's say the borrower is not interested in saying that. Let's say he's happy with the fact that the loan is forgiven, which parenthetically, I totally understand. But let's say after that, he just is not ready to say, I'm going to pay you back anyway. No problem whatsoever. Just suspend him upside down. Okay, I'd like you now to say, I'm going to pay you back anyway, while you're holding him upside down. Okay. So, Eisvei Abayi, so Abayi says, really, Al Yomar Lo, Kishu No Sein Lo, Al Yomar Lo Bechovei Ani No Sein Lecha, Lo Yomar Lo Sheli Hein Mamatani No Sein Lach. So the Braisa says that when the borrower does pay back post Shemitah, he must say this is not out of obligation, but rather this is a gift. So Amalei Tali Nami Adam Rahachi. So Rabbi says, I'm not bothered by the Braisa. So while you're holding him upside down and you say, you'd like me to let you go? Sure. Just here's what you need to say. I'm not paying you out of obligation. I'm paying you out of gift. I'm paying you because I want you to pay. Because I want to pay you. Okay, good. And for those of you who have been attending the daf long enough, you'll know, right, Kofanoso Achiyama wrote the Ani. Right? In other words, right, really people want to do the right thing. Sometimes they need just a little bit of encouragement. Abba Marmata do a bar minyume. We'll do this one story. So the Ave Masik Bey Rabba Zuze. Okay, so this particular person owed Rabba money. So I seen in the LA. So now this person brings the money to Rabba Bashvius, and it was after Shnas HaShemitah. And so now we know how the conversation is going to go, or at least we think we do. So Amrlei, so Rabba says to him, Shamanani. Okay, loan is forgiven. So Shaklinu, the Azul. So now the borrower said, thank you very much, and he runs away because Rabba told him the loan is canceled. Meaning he didn't know the Mishnah Shvi'is, and he didn't know that he had something that he was supposed to say. So also Abai Ashkechin Adava Atzev. So Abai finds now his Rebbe Rabba, his foster parent. We just went over that recently. Anyway, Ashkechin Adava Atzev. He saw that he was very sad. Amar Le Amai Atzev Mar. Amar Le Hachi Ava Maisa. So Rabba tells his student, here's what happened. Also Lagabe. Now his student understand, right? Abba Mar Marta forgot to say his line. So now Abai goes to Azza Bar Marta, counsels him. Let me help you. Let me help you over there. Amrle Amtele Zuzi Lamar Amrle In Amrle Umay Amrlach Amrle Mishamanani Amrle Vamartle Afapi Kane Amrle Lo. And so basically, let's go over all the details. Did you borrow money from him? Yes, I did. And what happened when you went to him after Shemitah? He said the loan is canceled. Oh, and did you offer to pay anyway? No, I didn't. Oh, Abai says, that's your line. You're supposed to say, I'm going to pay you anyway. Amar Levi, I am art le afapikin have a shaklin minach. Hashtamias, I'm tinu niale. Go get, bring the money back. Amalach afapikin and say afapikin. Azo, I'm tinu niale. He brought the money to him. Amar le afapikin and he said what he was supposed to say. And shaklinu mine. And Rabbi took the money. So Amar lo hava be daita by turba marabana mikara. And Rabba commented on this on the student. I wish he knew. I wish he understood already. I wish he didn't have to. Someone didn't have to explain it to him. Okay. I'm Rav Yirama Rav Nachman. Neman Adam Lamar Prusbol Hayabi Adiv Avad Mimeni. My time. I Kevin Detakin Rabban and Prusbol Lo Shavu Keter VaAchli Sura. Couple end notes to end today's daf. Number one, you claim you had a Prusbol. Where's the paperwork? I lost it. But as long as you claimed you have it, Ne'eman, you're going to be credible. Why? Because if there's an avenue in which you could have collected your loan beheter, no one's going to do so, ignore it, and collect their loan beisser. Ki asa lekame derav amarle mi de prusbal hayalach va'avad. Did you have a prusbal and lost it? So kigon ze ptach leile ilem hu. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to counsel. If somebody doesn't have a prusbal, so what you do is you counsel and you say, okay, but what you're allowed to say is I had a prusbal. By the way, the counseling only is good if he actually had a prusbal. Tanan v'chein bal chov shemotzi shar chov eina imo prusbal hare elo lo yiparu. The Gemara is bothered. Why? Because there is a Mishnah Ksuvos. And the Mishnah Ksuvos says that without a prusbal, you cannot collect. So tanai hi detanya amotzi shar chov sarach shehe imo prusbal v'chacham emamrim. This is subject to a machlokus, whether or not, in the absence of a prusbal, are you going to be believed to say that you had a prusbal, and it's a machlokus tonight. Adkan, we'll stop over here.